Georgia, 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 Georgia.
Welcome to the Georgia High School Football Chat Podcast with Smitty and Banks. I am Coach Travis Smith. My co-host is the one and only Coach Terrence Banks. What's going on, Coach?
Man, I can't call it, man. Blessed and excited for another show.
Likewise. We got another exciting show planned for you today with a very exciting guest. Before we get to our guest, let's talk a little bit about our Twitter poll from last week. Last week, we asked coaches what their thoughts were about their Thursday practice routine. A lot of people are doing quite a few different things with Thursday practice, even moving days around a little bit. Coach Banks, what type of feedback did we get for our Twitter poll?
Man, I thought it was interesting. 64% said they still do shirts and shorts. 28% do thud. We had some interesting answers. I know what I would like to do if I was a head coach again, what I like. I like for Wednesday to be a no-sweat Wednesday. So for us, Thursday would have been uppers and shells would have been a thud day. We did thud my last year at noon on Thursday because on Wednesdays we did no-sweat Wednesdays. And there are a lot more schools going to that. A lot more schools still doing the 64% still doing shirts and shorts. So, I mean, it's, you know, pretty much your philosophy. You see it growing. I like, shout out, guys. When you guys give us feedback, that helps us talk. And I think we may have to bring some of these coaches in for a round-robin session because there's a lot of good ideas we get. I like the idea coming out of Heritage High School. They don't do anything on Thursdays. They do a walkthrough Friday morning, which to me was a lovely idea, depending on what your program needs. Thursday was off. They all coached their JV games. They didn't have to worry about kids or coaches not there for Thursday walkthrough, because at a lot of schools where you don't have numbers or numbers of coaches, that can be a problem, especially if you go in that evening. They do it Friday morning, then they play Friday night. So I thought for Coach Johnson, and that was sent by Coach Wright, his offensive coordinator, I thought that was a great idea. So, not surprised to see that, you know, 64% of the coaches are still doing shirts and shorts. I've kind of moved away from that myself if I was in charge. But, you know, hey, whatever rocks for you. What's your thoughts on it, brother?
I'm with you. I actually like that answer that we got from Heritage as well. The potentially, you know, doing your walkthrough Friday morning and using Thursday for your varsity guys kind of be your study hall and, you know, for your academic day. Then, you know, your coaches can focus on the JV and your sub varsity level games. I like that idea. But you talked about no sweat Wednesday. I know, you know, you and I have talked about it a little bit. But for our listeners, if you don't mind, explain what you mean by when you say no sweat Wednesdays, Coach.
So a lot of the research out there about the CNS and getting your body acclimated. And I tell coaches all the time about, you know, rest and racehorse philosophy. Every Friday, we want to put our best horse out there to win the Kentucky Derby. So are we going to run it in the ground Monday through Wednesday? Then expect for Friday to be optimal speed. So Wednesdays, we did no pads. We did about an hour 15 minute practice. We did it in the mornings. If possible, we did it in the mornings of last year. It allows our kids to be off their feet as far as after hitting on Monday and Tuesday. It allows their body to kind of rest up. And then Thursday afternoon, we come back and we'll thud up, going through our walk through a quick thud, just defense out there, activating it again and get ready for Friday. And so then, too, what it allowed us to do Wednesday afternoons is if you had a big enough program, we didn't necessarily have huge numbers, but if you had a big enough program where you have JV kids that you want to deal with or ninth grade kids, you could. You could do study hall on Wednesday. If parents had to miss that Wednesday afternoon, make a doctor's appointment, that was great for it. But also, I mean, you go Wednesday afternoon, it's still an hour 15 minutes quick practice. Let your body rest up for some of the wear and tear on Tuesday, light third up on Thursday, and then get back at it. Just give your body rest, get your CNS, then your body excited again on Thursday. Bam, on Friday, let's rock and roll. And my thing is this, I tell people all the time, we all talk about max speed. We want our kids to play fast. We want our kids to be fast. Well, if you're going to run that prize winning horse on Friday and you're going to run into the ground on Monday and Tuesday, what kind of speed output do you expect to get 420 plays on Friday? So that's what we did, no sweat, Wednesdays. And I know, you know, we got the idea from other coaches. I'm pretty sure the guy who hit me to it as far as a good practice schedule was Josh Ham back when he was at Lassiter under Coach Irvin. Josh is now the OC at Jones County. I'm probably need to call out there and maybe get him on the show to explain why they made the move and how they're doing with it now at Jones County. But that's kind of my idea for – I like to know Sweat Wednesdays. Like I said, I know a few programs are doing it. I know a good friend of ours, Ryan Andrew, did it at Shiloh as well, and Kareem Reed does it at Griffin as well. So we might have to get some of these coaches on the show to show their ideas of coaches are interested in that topic, because that's – we know what the podcast is here for. But I'm excited about today's show. So what else you got, brother?
Well, I agree, man. I like you said, I like the ideas that were thrown out. You know, I'm kind of old school, you know, where when I played, we did shorts and T-shirts, and it was pretty much an expedited walkthrough. Now at Douglas County, you know, we're in shells, you know, but it's, you know, it's not really any hitting. It's less, whatever's less than third is what we do. What I really like, I'm very intrigued by the No Sweat Wednesday and using that as your day to kind of get the kids' legs back up on them. So on Thursday, you know, you get it going a little bit. Then on Friday, they're ready to go. So like you said, we may have to reach out to some of these other coaches to get their input on that as well. So very, very pleased with the feedback that we got. Coaches, keep that information coming.
Coaches, thank you for your inputs in last week's poll. Please continue to share your thoughts and opinions every Friday. Now allow me to introduce our guest for today's show, an Atlanta native, graduate of Crim High School, old school, and alum of Tennessee State University. He's made coaching stops at several HBCUs, including Tennessee State, Alabama State, Miles College, Concordia College, and Lane College. For the past 13 seasons, he's been at the helm of the Maroon Tigers in the AUC. Podcast listeners, join me in welcoming the head football coach for Morehouse College, Coach Rich Freeman. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us, Coach. Coach, start us off. Won't you tell us a little bit about your coaching journey and some of the stops you've made?
Well, again, I went off to Tennessee State University after having played here locally at Crim High School, after you just, as you just mentioned, and played for 4 years there, then winded up meeting a gentleman by the name of L.C. Cole, who came in when my alma mater made a coaching change. And he came in right around the same time that I was finishing up my senior year. And I think he was, kind of attracted to my playing style, and he offered me an opportunity to stay on as a graduate assistant coach. And my career started with Coach LC, and we won two championships at Tennessee State, left Tennessee State, went on to Alabama State University, won a couple of championships there as well. Then we split off, broke off, and I ended up coaching at Miles College, Lane College, Concordia College, and finally getting my first opportunity at a head coaching job here at Morehouse back in 2007. So that's been my track record, so to speak.
That's a pretty good track record, Coach. Coach, you got double-digit years at Morehouse. You've been there for a little while. You don't see that very often these days. Coaches are in and out for whatever reasons. What was it that attracted you to Morehouse, and what has it been that's kept you there for so long?
Well, number one, history. I have family members that have been through the AUC. My mom, actually, I don't tell a whole lot of people this, but my mom actually went to Clark Atlanta.
Wow.
Go figure that, huh? She didn't graduate. She won't tell me what her reason was. I think she had one semester left, but it was either myself or it was either me or my sister that caused her not to graduate. And then I had an uncle that was very close to me that played center for the Maroon Tigers way back when. And, of course, my high school coach, Coach William Lester, he started off at Morehouse College as well before transferring to Albany State. So I have some history there. But at the same time, it's also an attractive place. The history and tradition in terms of the civil rights movement, with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and several others, and the academic prowess that Morehouse has, carried year in, year out, and then, of course, located here in my hometown, all those things were very attractive to me. And I applied for the job, the head coaching job, twice, and was afforded the opportunity the second time I applied. I think if you ask me what kept me here long, I think I would say the grace of the good Lord, you know, and some really good players and some doggone good coaches.
Well, you know, Coach, you say that, and, you know, as a Morehouse man, you know, it's a couple of things that I thought probably at some point with all – it's three people I think I, you know, kind of thought would be at Morehouse forever at this point. That's you, that's Mr. Eric Turner, and then, of course, Coach Petillo, who just retired. So at this point, man, you know, I tell people all the time that Rich Freeman probably going to be at Morehouse until it's time for him to go see the big dog. So, you know, you are now a Morehouse staple along with those gentlemen.
Well, you know, here again, I don't take that for granted. You know, the president of the college, athletic director, those are positions. I can't just give specific names because I've been there with several different presidents, and, you know, going into our third athletic director with Mr. Petillo being retired, and of course Javaro, he's getting ready to pass the torch on to a newly hired athletic director coming in possibly in July. We have to look and see what's going on with the COVID 19, obviously. And of course, I've lost count with president. I want to say maybe six presidents that I've had the privilege of being here under. So it's been the grace of those persons that has continued to allow me, just the prestigious honor of being the head coach and maintaining that position. Because it's not a position that you just come and just sit in. You know, it's definitely some accountability that comes with the position. And, we haven't had 10-0 seasons every year. So it's also been some grace, given by those individuals. So I'm thankful to them for allowing myself, me and my family and our coaching staff the opportunity to continue to work here at Morehouse.
You know, Coach, one of the things that is talked about among just HBCUs and period is, you know, alumni and the need for them to help push their cultures forward. I know one thing that the Morehouse Football Alumni Association did, like last year, was the gala to help raise funds for the program. You've worked at several HBCU schools as a football coach. What can alumni and any HBCU do to help grow their football programs to that level that, you know, you guys are all searching for, which is, you know, continued years of being able to compete and hopefully get into the playoffs?
Well, you mentioned just a few of the things that we've done at Morehouse, our alumni. And again, you know, I take my hat off to those guys, you know, because most of these things that they've done at Morehouse, you know, I have not been behind any of it. These are just gentlemen that love the institution and that have cutting edge ideas to generate revenue and also reconnect the past and you know, the present and also the future, you know, because they get involved with recruiting as well. So, you know, I think, you know, just basically looking at what models that are being done at some of the larger institutions, galas where you raise funds and have silent auctions and, just give people opportunity to step out and put on their best outfits and have a nice, elegant night, you know, party with a purpose. We do something every spring called Football Week, and it's piggybacking off of fraternities and sororities, AKA Week, Alpha Week. You know, we have a football week, and that week is pretty much composed of trying to do things to have fun with the student athletes and the coaches, like the coaches versus faculty, staff, and students, basketball and baseball game, you know, for camaraderie purposes. And then we also do things like ice cream socials to give stuff back to the student body, to connect the students and the players. And then, you know, we do things to raise and revenue for the program as well, like, you know, maybe throw parties and have admissions, and all the proceeds go directly to the program. So I think just ideas that alums can kind of get with coaching staffs across the country, because budgets are suffering, and I don't anticipate, professionals don't anticipate that changing. Budgets are going to continue to suffer. So the supplementing of the budgets by the alumni is going to be key. And I think we have one of the best in the country, because, you know, we definitely don't like to air our laundry, but we don't have the biggest budget in our athletics department. We don't. And so I'm speaking in terms of not comparing to major Division II schools like West Georgia and Valdosta State. I'm speaking in comparison to schools like Miles College, to schools like Albany State, to schools like Tuskegee. These are schools in our conference, you know. So our alumni help us to become competitive in terms of our budget. So that's key.
Coach, I'm glad you started talking about the budget part. HBCUs, not just you guys, often get a bad rep in the recruiting business, because I think a lot of people expect HBCUs to be able to compete with the likes of Alabama's and those types. I don't think it's a fair comparison. And I know that you talked a little bit about, you know, the budget restraints and the limitations. I know limitations of resources can make it very difficult for you guys to get out as much and to do some of the things that your counterparts are able to do. What can you say to those who are offering those criticisms and not fairly comparing you to other schools?
Well, to be honest with you, it's not a whole lot that can be said. I mean, because, you know, those that understand, I feel like they just understand. And those that don't, I feel like sometimes, you know, sometimes you understand what you like to understand, and you don't understand what you wouldn't like to understand. But but for those that genuinely don't understand the difference between an apple and an orange, you know, I would just, you know, basically say it comes down to finance. You know, the difference between Morehouse College and University of Georgia is that, you know, we play in front of about, you know, on a good day, maybe 15,000 fans. And for them, on a good day, they play in front of about 105,000. You follow me? And so, you know, there's just a difference in revenue. It's a difference in television contracts. And it's a difference in scholarships. I mean, you know, when we lined up, I had to delicately, without making excuses, I had to delicately explain to persons that were critical with our loss last year to Alabama A&M. You know, that exactly is also an apple compared to an orange. Two HBCUs, but one where scholarships are given at a rate of 63 scholarships per year, being Alabama A&M. And at Morehouse, we only give 30 scholarships a year. You follow me? So, you know, that's a difference. But at the same time, what I do tell people is, you know, we still can attract, although we can't attract the quantity, we can still attract the same quality with our rich history and tradition and our location. So we use what we have to try to be competitive at whatever stage we can play on.
I mean, Coach, you kind of answered like, whew, two things at once that I was going to ask, and I think that's beautiful, and I'm going to maybe have you give some clarification on that, because, you know, of course, being high school coaches, me and Travis, having, you know, myself and other coaches, so many other coaches, you know, a lot of my mentors played at HBCUs, and just trying to get our parents to understand at all levels, because it's not, at first, not just an HBCU thing. They don't understand the difference in FBS, LCS, and D2, and that's what, you know, I'm glad you kind of segue into that. And you pretty much said you got 30 scholarships. So I'm like, I try to tell my kids all the time, when a kid comes to me talking about, well, coach, I want to go play for Coach Freeman at Morehouse. They said they want to play for Coach Barnes at Clark Atlanta. I'm like, look, they got 30 scholarships. So I want you to talk about the complete package, because I try to tell them, don't bring me your 2.1 and your parents make $200,000 and you're telling me you're trying to get go play at Morehouse. Now, unless your parents going to have about $30,000 in the bank per year, that ain't necessarily, you know, the same. So, and you talk about the things that you look for in the whole student athlete when you're doing the recruiting at Morehouse, because you're an HBCU and a D2 school. And, you know, can you just talk about that approach briefly about what a kid needs to get on your radar?
No question. Number one, the very first thing you have to do at Morehouse is pass admissions. You know, at other places, you know, you have to pass the NCAA eligibility center. That mean very much to Morehouse, you know, because we have to try to recruit scholar athletes, and we're looking for guys with, you know, maybe a somewhat north of a 3.0 GPA. I always try to aim for slightly over 3.2 is what I look for. And we're looking for, as far as test score, 21 ACT or 1050 or SAT, you know, and that's really a starting point and everything north of that. And then the other thing that we're looking for is revenue. We're looking for guys that are gonna qualify for some of the free monies that's available, free grants, Pell grants being one of them. You can get close to $6,000 or a little over $6,000 if you are a qualifier from a financial standpoint in terms of total family income. That's one way to get income. Is it also another way is being a Georgia student, getting Georgia Hope, and that's being over a 3.0 GPA, you can get up to $4,500 from Georgia Hope. So if I get a kid that qualifies for Pell and he qualifies for Hope, he has $10,000 before we even start the conversation. And then the other thing is, you know, you can get a work study grant, which is up to $2,500 if you qualify. And then you can get a Georgia tuition equalization grant, which is just slightly over $1,000. So you're talking about $12,000 to $13,000 of grants that we're looking for guys that can walk in the door with those type of grants, because it costs about $43,000 a year to go to Morehouse. And with 30 scholarships, we definitely not giving a one scholarship for $43,000, because if we do that, we won't have enough players to fill the team. So we have to break our scholarships up. But we do so. We try to do so without guys taking out very much student loans. So we're looking for guys that's going to bring money to the table on the front end. And then also we're looking for the best possible grades that we can find, because now he may, that young, same young man may be able to tap into an academic scholarship. And by doing so, you know, that will lessen his chances of taking loans out. And that will also give us more of an opportunity to give him the best possible experience we can give him by getting more and more student athletes on our team. Let me give you a quick case in point. We had an offensive tackle back in 2010. His name was Ramon Harwood. He was drafted, I believe, in either the late third round or early fourth round, one of the two. But this kid was about 6'8", about 350 pounds. He ran a 4.8 in the 40, 4.9, 4.8. And he bench pressed about 500 pounds. We gave Ramon Harwood $1,000 in scholarships, because he had all types of academic scholarship monies that you know, that he benefited from. So he was a full scholarship type player, but we didn't have to spend the full scholarship on him, and we were able to take the money that we would have normally given to him and build that team up. And he played on the team that went to the playoffs, the NCAA playoffs, the only time in school history, back in 2010. You know, so that's what we try to look for. And, you know, oftentimes we find it oftentimes.
Mm. Well, Coach, I appreciate that you pretty much gave a recruiting and financial aid seminar in that segment. I appreciate it because, you know, we try to explain to kids that schools are going to try to get you and find other monies before the scholars, the actual athletic money comes in. And if you can get those money, then you help that coach out and you end up helping that program out. So thank you for that answer. Coach, as it relates to coaches, high school coaches all over the country are looking to make that jump to the collegiate level. If you were entertaining the thought of hiring a high school coach, what would be a few of the qualities and characteristics that you would expect that coach to have?
Well, with me, coaching is coaching. You know, some of the best coaches that have come through Morehouse have been guys that have come from the high school level. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, you know, I understand coaching in Georgia. You know, it's some really good University of Auburn has a head coach that came out of the high school ranks. You know, so I have an affinity for high school coaches. And sometimes I lose some of my coaches to good high school programs, you know. And we do a lot of professional development. You know, sometimes, you know, when I'm in a school, a high school recruiting, I'm actually doubling, doing some pro development as well. You know, just talking to some of the brighter minds, you know, in Georgia. So, you know, just guys that have an understanding of what it takes, you know, and I think high school guys do a good job in recruiting because they have to sell their players and their programs to the college level. Well, that's all you have to do on the college level as well, except you have to do it in reverse. You have to sell, you know, the institution, the situation, the location, the coaching staff, the culture of that particular program. You have to in turn sell that to the college, the high school coach, the high school player, the parents, you know, the administrators, and you have to make it a win-win. So they already have some idea of how to do it, and now just, you know, have to make sure that you adjust, have to be also able to adjust to the philosophy and culture of the coaching staff. It's a lot of do's and don'ts that comes with coaching, and, you know, I think if they're able to do that, then they will also always be a pretty good fit.
You know, and Coach, that's, I mean, I'm glad that people get to hear those words from you, and that's profound. Now, I mean, you on your staff now, you have alumni, you have guys, like you say, who have coached both, you know, me and Coach Russ, good friends for a long time, and he's on your staff, and he was a great high school coach. He's an alum, and, you know, kind of what you said is, you know, I know whenever he's out selling Morehouse to recruits, he's selling not only that he's on staff, he's done it before as a high school recruiting coordinator, he's selling as an alumni, and, you know, those things, you know, help, you know, do all of that. And so I think that's very important for people to hear from you on the things that you look for to, you know, to be on your staff. You know, Coach, as we are approaching the end of our show, we have a final question that's kind of a finisher question and that we ask every guest. And it's one thing that me and Travis always love hearing because it's the one thing that we know goes back to everybody. What is the one thing that high school coaches should make sure that they're doing in their programs or schools? So if you could give one thing that you think every Georgia high school football coach is going to hear you talk needs to be doing in their program, what would you tell them that needs to be?
I think it's tough for to just say one thing, but I would put emphasis on the development of their young men. That's the only way I could kind of put a conglomerate of duties. That's the only word I could phrase I could find, because it's an umbrella of things I think that have to be done before that young man leaves that high school program. I look back on my high school program. We didn't have facilities. We didn't have resources. You know, we were all kids from the inner cities. But most of the kids that played on my high school team ended up going to college and ended up being husbands and fathers, you know, and positive contributors to society. And that's because we had a head coach, and the head coach did a really good job of relaying a message to all the student athletes about being a man, and a message about being a father, a message about being a good husband, a man of standard and principles, and a man that was able to handle responsibility. And he did that oftentimes without using words to do it. We looked at him and we saw him, and that was, that guy's name was Coach William Lester. And so I think we're living in times now where everybody has ambitions of being highly successful, winning games, and getting the right guy on the field, and getting the right guy in your program, and getting the right guy to sign at a particular college. But we have to, I think we have to make sure that when guys leave our programs or leave our schools, we have to make sure that they're ready to make that next step, and that we've done everything that we can to make sure they're going to be whole persons once they are whole men once they leave. Guys need to understand how to respect women. They need to understand how to be accountable with their actions. They need to understand how to put hard work and effort into their assignments. So I would just say, make sure that you're building men before they leave your program.
Coach, that is profound, man. You just gave, I think a lot of us get into the coaching fraternity based off of those principles, you know. And I think, like you said in the beginning of your answer, it's easy to get caught up in wins and losses and trying to, you know, move up the ladder of success. And sometimes those principles can kind of get put on the back burner. So I think that's very profound and encouraging to hear someone at your level still holding true to those foundational principles. So I appreciate you for that answer. Unfortunately, we come to the end of the show. We want to send a big thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and keep the interactions going. You can follow the podcast at GAHSFB Chat. That's at Georgia High School Football Chat. You can follow me, Coach Travis Smith, at underscore Coach T Smith. Again, that's at underscore Coach T Smith. Coach Banks, how can they keep up with you?
T Banks 1906 on Twitter, T Banks 1906.
Coach Freeman, how can our listeners keep up with you and the Morehouse football program?
Rich Freeman 42. That's my Twitter. And, you know, just we have a Morehouse College football Twitter account as well. And, you know, we also have other social media outlets with Facebook. I know guys don't do that very often. We do that as well. And, I know I can be a little bit old school. But that's one that we're on as well.
Well, thank you very much, Coach. On behalf of our guest, Coach Rich Freeman, and my co-host, Coach Banks, I am Coach Smith. This has been a Georgia High School Football Chat podcast with Smitty and Banks, where culture
is for coaches.
We on the grind in Georgia all the time. It ain't nothing on my mind but Georgia.